Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, text 11. Tesham evanu kampartham.
Tesham evanu kampartham.
Aham ajnanajan tamaha. Nashayam atma bhavastho.
Nashayam atma bhavastho.
Jnana dipena bhashyata. Translation: to show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Please repeat after me. To show them special mercy,
I, dwelling in their hearts,
destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Chaitanya was in Benares promulgating the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, thousands of people were following Him. Prakashananda Saraswati, a very influential and learned scholar in Benares at that time, derided Lord Chaitanya for being a sentimentalist. Sometimes philosophers criticize the devotees because they think that most of the devotees are in the darkness of ignorance and are philosophically naive sentimentalists. Actually, that is not the fact. There are very, very learned scholars who have put forward the philosophy of devotion. But even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literatures or of his spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna Himself within his heart. So, the sincere devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. The modern philosophers think that without discriminating, one cannot have pure knowledge. For them, this answer is given by the Supreme Lord. Those who are engaged in pure devotional service, even though they be without sufficient education and even without sufficient knowledge of the Vedic principles, are still helped by the Supreme God, as stated in this verse. The Lord tells Arjuna that basically there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply by speculating. For the Supreme Truth is so great that it is not possible to understand Him or to achieve Him simply by making a mental effort. Man can go on speculating for several millions of years, and if he is not devoted, if he is not a lover of the Supreme Truth, he will never understand Krishna or the Supreme Truth. Only by devotional service is the Supreme Truth, Krishna, pleased, and by His inconceivable energy, He can reveal Himself to the heart of the pure devotee. The pure devotee always has Krishna within his heart, and with the presence of Krishna, who is just like the sun, the darkness of ignorance is at once dissipated. This is the special mercy rendered to the pure devotee by Krishna. Due to the contamination of material association through many, many millions of births, one's heart is always covered with the dust of materialism. But when one engages in devotional service and constantly chants Hare Krishna, the dust quickly clears and one is elevated to the platform of pure knowledge. The ultimate goal, Vishnu, can be attained only by this chant and by devotional service, and not by mental speculation or argument. The pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life. He need not be anxious, because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased by the loving devotional service of the devotee. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. By studying Bhagavad Gita, one can become a soul completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord and engage himself in pure devotional service. As the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors. It's a beautiful shloka, a very important shloka, and a very long purport as well. So, Prabhupada actually making it very clear here that when one takes to devotional service, he doesn't have to really worry about anything, because then Krishna takes care of everything. When one surrenders unto Krishna, then Krishna takes care of that personality. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the diksha kale shishya kare atma samarpan, shei kale Krishna tare kare atma samarpan. At the time of initiation, the disciple surrenders himself unto the Guru, and at that time, Krishna accepts him and makes him his very dear associate, or he takes charge of him. So, it is something like if there is a king, and when one surrenders unto the king, then the king takes care of him. Nowadays, of course, there is no king. Let's say there is a rich man, and if that rich man is my father, and if I surrender unto him, then I don't have to really take care of anything as such myself. A father will take care of everything, especially when he's such a rich man. So what to talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the richest personality that the world has ever seen. Not only the material world, but even the spiritual world. So when one surrenders unto Krishna, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Krishna takes care of him. Then he won't have to really take care of himself. Like we notice that, what to talk about a rich man's son, a rich man even takes care of his servant. If some very rich man has a servant, and if that servant is rendering service unto him very nicely, then will the servant have to worry about his food and clothing and so on and so forth? No. That man will take care of him, everything, all his necessities. So, when you talk about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he also takes care of us when we surrender unto him. As a matter of fact, even before we surrender unto him, he takes care of us. In the material nature, all our necessities are actually fulfilled by Krishna. Of course, modern science is claiming that they are doing everything. They are taking care of everybody. And the individuals also are thinking that they are taking care of themselves, because they are earning money, and with that money they are buying the food, and they are paying the rent for their houses, and buying their clothes, and so on and so forth. But actually, if we think of it little deeply, then you can see that with this modern scientific or technical development, we have not really been able to take care of our necessities as such. It is taken care of by the nature itself. We can see that one may think that there are so many nice foods are being sold in the big shops, and nicely packed and so on and so forth, and you're paying the money and buying those food. But if we analyze it, then we'll see that actually those food are not really produced by the so-called industries and so on and so forth. They have been produced by nature. Our laboratories and our scientific laboratories and big industries cannot actually produce even a grain of rice or a grain of wheat. People may think, well, I mean, nowadays, of course, especially in Europe and America, people will say, well, we don't need, why do you need rice and grains? We can have meat and eggs and fish. But even they are also not produced by them. It is produced by nature. So we have to understand that all that we need is actually produced by nature. Yes, we can produce something in our factories, but we cannot really survive with those commodities. Like Prabhupada used to use an expression that you can't eat nuts and bolts. In your factories, all you can produce is nuts and bolts. But when you are hungry, no amount of nuts and bolts will fill your belly. Or if we say, well, not nuts and bolts, in Germany we are making Mercedes-Benz and Audi and Opel and so on and so forth, so many big cars and big machines. Even those big cars and big machines will not fill your belly if there is no food in nature. Actually, I heard during the Second World War, I mean, by hundreds of thousands of marks, one couldn't even buy a bread. Your money was there, 100,000 Deutschmark, sounds so big amount. But this 100,000 Deutschmark was not good enough to buy a loaf of bread. So that is what it is like. If nature says, well, now I'm not going to give you anything, then all our bank balance cannot even buy a single grain of wheat. So an intelligent man will understand that, and he will realize where his necessities are coming from. One can survive without a Mercedes-Benz. One can survive without big Hochhäuser. And one can survive without all your technical advancement. But you cannot survive without food. And who produces the food? The food comes as a mercy of the Lord. You may turn the food, you may turn the grains into loaves of breads or biscuits and cakes and so on and so forth. But ultimately it is coming from the nature as a mercy of the Lord. Now, we can see that even though we are not surrendered to the, even when we are not surrendered to the Lord, still the Lord takes care of us. So what to talk about when we surrender unto Him? Can there be any scarcity? As it is when we are disobedient to the Lord, when we are revolting against the Lord, still the Lord is providing us with everything that we need. But when we surrender unto Him and we begin to render loving devotional service unto Him, then will there be any scarcity? Will there be any dearth of our opulence? No. Then the Lord will take care of everything. And not only He will take care of our material necessities, He will also take care of our spiritual necessities. Now, what is our spiritual necessity? The spiritual necessity is joy. Everybody wants to be happy. Not exactly happy. Happiness is actually a material concept. Happiness is a material concept. The definition of happiness, according to the Vedas or Vedic dictionary, is the cessation of pain. We are existing in a miserable, painful condition. And when the pain reduces, to some extent we say, now we are happy. Like one is suffering very much from some disease, or say, there is a boy, somebody has a boil on his behind. And this is painful. It hurts him. When he sits, it hurts him. Now he is sitting on a wooden bench, and then somebody, it hurts him very much. And somebody comes and gives him a foam mattress, a soft seat to sit on, and he feels little relieved. And that is what material happiness is like. A little cessation or minimizing the pain. But joy is diametrically opposite to misery. As a matter of fact, in the material platform, there is no joy. The real joy, the Sanskrit word for that is ananda, and that is not available in the material platform. That we can get only when we are situated in the spiritual platform. Now, we have an impression of that joy, we have that craving for that joy, and that's why we are making all kinds of endeavor to become joyful. But in the material platform, all our endeavors to experience that joy is being frustrated. And ultimately, one wants to experience the joy by love. A man and a woman thinks that by loving each other, they will get the taste of the joy. But when they love, they actually love each other's body. They do not even know what real love is. So that's why the love is frustrated. So the actual joy is a product of the living entity's love for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But since we have forgotten the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we are trying to love something and trying to be happy by loving it. And a young man thinks that by loving a young woman, he'll be happy. Or somebody thinks that when somebody can't even love some human being, then he thinks that by loving his dog, he'll be happy. And that's what happens, especially in the Western world. I see that people are so fond of their dogs, they're completely in love with their dogs. But why? Because they think that their love always has been frustrated. Whenever they have tried to love somebody, he or she has ditched him. So they think that now I love my dog and my dog will never ditch me. And when they get even frustrated by the dog's by loving the dog, then they try to love their car or love their house or love their money. And some people even love their some kind of rubber balloons. There are all kinds of weird things, weird objects of love in this material nature nowadays. But actually we have to understand, according to this, of course, this knowledge of course has been given by the Vedas, that the actual loving object, actual object of our love is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Sanskrit, there are two expressions. In English also, there are two expressions. One is love and the other is lust. Now, it's said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that when the living entity craves for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when a living entity desires to give pleasure to the senses of the Lord, then that is love. But when one tries to enjoy his own senses, then it is not love, but lust. Now in the material nature, it is the lust that is going on in the name of love. They actually are lusting for each other's body, but they are saying that we love each other, and they want to give some spiritual tinge to it. But it boils down to the brass tacks that they are simply interested about each other's flesh. So in the material platform, there is nothing called love. But the love is actually a spiritual concept. That is, the love is applicable only to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when one begins to love the Lord, then he immediately experiences the joy. Now one may wonder that how come it is joyful to love the Lord? So that also has been analyzed, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord, is not an imaginary concept or not an inert person. He is a living personality, and he is actually the source of all living beings. Nitya Nityanam Chetanas Chetaranam. And He is the Supreme Conscious among all conscious beings, and He is the Supreme Eternal Truth among all the truth. So, that is the Supreme Personality of God. So, when you begin to love Him, then He reciprocates. And when the Lord reciprocates, then we experience that joy that we are craving so much. In a material platform, that kind of reciprocation is not there. A man thinks that he loves a woman, but actually it is just he is lusting for the body of that woman. And when he gets the body of the woman, he feels vacant. He feels that I didn't really want it. Because he's actually looking for something else. He's not looking for that flesh of a body. He's looking for something else. And that craving is an eternal spiritual craving. It is a spirit soul that wants to love someone. It is not that one body loves another body. So that's why in the material platform, all the love ultimately culminates into frustration. One may carry on, drag on the sentimental platform for some years, but ultimately it is not fruitful. So because it is the spirit that is wanting a spiritual exchange with the Supreme Lord. So when the spirit soul becomes aware of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and when that Supreme Personality of Godhead reciprocates that love with Him, then there is that joy. So joy of Freude is actually a spiritual concept. And unless and until one is situated in a spiritual platform, one cannot possibly experience it. So Krishna is telling here, Tesham Ivanu Kampartham Aham Agyana Jantama, that when one begins to love me and begins to render devotional service with love, then I, in order to show my mercy unto him, I remove all the ignorance from his heart. The darkness of ignorance is immediately dispelled from his heart, and his heart becomes filled with the light of knowledge, and in that light he gets to know me. Now, this is also a very, very important point. Like, unless and until we know someone, we cannot possibly love him. In order to love him, Jai Shushi Gaur Nitai, in order to love someone, we have to know him. Now, in most cases, people cannot possibly apprehend the idea of loving the Lord because they do not know who the Lord is. They do not have any understanding about God. So that's why they immediately reject the concept that, well, I mean, what's the use of loving God? Because who knows whether the God exists? So it's actually a fact, like unless and until we are completely convinced about the existence of God, and unless and until we see Him, then how can we possibly love Him? So Krishna is telling that when one begins to render service unto me with that faith that I am, with love and devotion, then I reveal myself to Him. Due to our ignorance, we have forgotten God, but when our ignorance is removed, then we immediately get to know Him. And we can immediately understand the reciprocation. We can immediately experience the reciprocation, that God is reciprocating with us. And actually it becomes very easy for the devotees to understand that. Because so often we have seen that how Krishna reciprocates. Practically all devotees experience that, how Krishna reciprocates. And that confirms his faith. Then no, Krishna is not an imaginary concept. God is not an imagination. God is the absolute truth. And if I somehow become connected to Him, then I will benefit. And what is the benefit? The highest benefit is to have a relationship with Him, an exchange, loving exchange with Him. And that loving exchange is the source of our joy. In a material platform, we see that how people experience joy. Like we, in out of our friendship, we enjoy. We have noticed that. And we like to be with our friends. And so because that is a kind of source of our joy, to some extent, although it's a material concept, as I said, that the joy is a spiritual concept. Now in a material platform, actually, no friendship is everlasting. No friendship is a real friendship. Like I remember, I had so many friends that if I didn't meet them every day, I felt my day has gone to a waste. When I became a devotee, when I became fully convinced of Krishna conscious philosophy and I decided to join this movement, then I thought that all my friends also will join this movement. And because I thought that this is the most wonderful philosophy, this is the most wonderful thing that I ever came across. And so I made up my mind to join. And actually I went and joined the movement. And then after about a month I came and met my friends with my shaved head and sikha and dhoti. And my friends couldn't believe it. And what to talk about understanding the philosophy, they thought that I must have gone farooked. And so there, this is material friendship. It's like you scratch my back, I scratch your back, and that's up to that. And when you stop scratching your back, instead you hold my hand and try to pull me towards the crazy path that you have taken, then I say, okay, forget it. So that is what material friendship is like. Then, in the material platform also, there is another exchange that gives joy, is the loving exchange between parents and children. The father and mother love their children, and there is some joy in it. But that relationship also is not very permanent. That relation is also very shallow and very temporary. Especially in the West, the experience, I'm sure the parents experience it quite strongly. Like they bring up these children, they think that they can't live without their children. But then one day they just leave their parents and go away, and then the relationship is totally severed. Especially in America, I've noticed it. It's very, very prominent how the relationship between parents and their children are just breaking into pieces. I mean, the children can't even stand their parents. And parents also cannot sometimes stand their children. So that is, although there is some possibility of getting some enjoyment, but it is not there. And then, of course, there is the relationship between a young man and a woman in their so-called love for each other. But that relationship is also not there. So many love is breaking into divorces, so many so-called love is just breaking into separation, and there are couples that thought at one time in their first meeting or during the infatuation stage that they could not live without each other. And then after a few months, they can't even stand each other's sight. And so in the material platform, although the reflection or the concept is there, but the actual thing is not there. So in the material platform, we are trying to enjoy out of this relationship. The relationship between lovers, relationship between parents and children, the relationship between friends. But it is not successful in the material platform in its true sense. But actually, when we begin to love the Lord, then we develop a relationship with the Lord like that. When we develop a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then God, that eternally youthful, most attractive personality, becomes our dearmost friend. Or he becomes even our son. And he also becomes our lover. So as we have our constitutional relationship with the Lord, that relationship develops as we begin our devotional service unto Him. And that relationship is the source of transcendental joy or absolute joy. So, when we begin our devotional service, we do not lose anything. On the other hand, we gain everything. We gain the highest thing, that is joy or spiritual Freude, transcendental bliss. And when we begin to love Him, then Krishna helps us. He helps us develop that relationship. That, unless and until one becomes a devotee, cannot understand. Only the devotees can understand it. And devotees do understand it. And I'm sure all the devotees here have experienced it. How one becomes joyful by loving Krishna. Because otherwise, why they should be here? Right? At least I wouldn't have been here if there was not that joy, that promised joy. As a matter of fact, I couldn't do anything for more than 3 months. Only in Krishna consciousness I am here for the last 10 years. And I pray to Krishna that I can be in this path all my life and even life after life. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question?
Actually, material life becomes so disgusting that more and more people are just sincerely looking for alternatives to do that. Now, of those, you see, why you are considering those values. Now, what would you give those people as a first indication that this part of Krishna consciousness goes into the spiritual protection? They always must have when one is on the other part, but he's secure at the time of this actually goes to him.
Convinced, yeah. Yeah. Here, of course, the first criterion is a sufficient amount of intelligence. In the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, it has been said that jajanti hi shumedhasaha, right? That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will come and propagate his Krishna consciousness movement. And the ones, those who are very, very intelligent. Medha means gray matter, you know, intelligence. And shumedha saha means exceptionally elevated intelligence. So unless and until one is very intelligent, one cannot really appreciate this movement. Right? Basically, you see, less intelligent people, they appreciate only what they can perceive immediately. Right? More intelligent people can, and the more his intelligence is, the more he can see beyond the immediate grasping, right? Like somebody may think that, well, I mean, here is what I have got, let me just take this. But a more intelligent person will know, no, let me take a few steps ahead, and there is something even better than what I have here. Even more intelligent person will go beyond. So this way, the more the intelligence, the further we can see, right? Or further we can grasp. So Krishna consciousness is a thing that we have to appreciate, not by our senses or by our sense perception, right? That, in order to appreciate that, we need a lot of intelligence, because it is beyond our sense perceptions, right? The things that you cannot see with your eyes, the things that you can't perceive with your senses, to become convinced about that is very, very difficult, right? Now, first of all, a person, unless he is very intelligent, he won't even believe in God, right? Now, even if he believes in God, then rendering devotional service unto Him, to be convinced of that is even more difficult, right? So, this movement is actually meant for intelligent class of people. So we can't expect that everybody will join this movement. Unless and until one is sufficiently intelligent, he will not. And we have to accept this fact. Of course, we want that the whole world should join. That is our desire is. But it is very difficult for everybody in this world to attain that degree of intelligence. But we can give them the understanding. Krishna says the nashayani atma bhavas. So we can keep on trying to give them Krishna consciousness. And if somehow they develop some taste or develop some conviction, then Krishna will give them more proof, so that their faith becomes convinced, they become convinced in their faith. And as far as the indication that you said, when someone is traversing the path, the indication is Mahajano Jena Gatasya Pantha. The people, those who are more advanced, by seeing them, we can. Like, I remember when I met Prabhupada, first of all, I had my doubts about Krishna consciousness. I thought, what kind of spiritual life it is? They don't go to the mountains. Or at least they could go to the forest, but instead they stay in the big cities, and instead of growing long hair and beard, they just shave it off, and they chant and dance in the middle of the streets. So I found that it was a little unusual, a little funny also. But then after reading Prabhupada's books, I became convinced. And then when I saw Prabhupada, then I realized that this man is nobody's fool, right? I mean, Prabhupada is so smart, right? Nobody could actually defeat Prabhupada in any argument. So many philosophers and scientists tried to get Prabhupada, but Prabhupada always pointed out that they are wrong and he was right. So when I saw Prabhupada, I realized that I can safely follow his footsteps. I can even close my eyes and just surrender myself unto him, and I'll not be a loser. And I can see that. I can see that. I haven't been a loser. Prabhupada, by his mercy, I got everything. And so this is the thing, like in the beginning we must start with certain amount of faith. But then that faith becomes established with our own experiences. Like we can give an example, like when you begin to learn A, B, C, D, right? Learn the alphabet. The mother says this is A, this is B, this is C, this is D. And at that time we do not question. You know, we have the faith. My mother is teaching me and she must be teaching me right. right? And then when you grow up and you begin to read books, then it is confirmed that yes, A is A and B is B. The same way, we begin with certain amount of faith, and as we make advancement in spiritual life, then that faith is confirmed. So, when one steps into Krishna consciousness, the indications are there. Like in the Autobahn, always the sign is there, back to Godhead, back to Godhead, back to Godhead. Right? But one who hasn't taken this path, how are you going to convince him? Right? He will have to go to the Autobahn in order to go towards spiritual sky. Right? The spiritual Autobahn to go back to spiritual sky. But if you're sitting right in the middle of the city and thinking that, well, I don't see any indication, so then it's of course his mistake. He has to go to that right path. And then once he keeps on traversing the path, the indication will come one after the other. Clear? Krishna, is there any more question? Yeah. Yeah, well, what is the definition of a pure devotee? It's a question. Yes, Prabhupada actually defined this pure devotion or pure devotee in two ways. One is who has become totally purified of his all his material contamination. That's a pure devotee. Another time Prabhupada mentioned that one, those who are following the pure path of devotional service, he is also a pure devotee. Right? So anyone who is following that path, Krishna will give him the intelligence. Didn't Krishna give you the intelligence? Huh? He did. Yeah, but at least he gave you the intelligence. Now you stick to it. Huh? And that's why you are here. Otherwise you would have been out there. So that is the indication. Like, why? Because you are following a pure path. Right? This path is pure. This path of devotional service is pure. Especially the way Prabhupada gave. And actually it is rare, still it is rare, how many people can join this pure devotional path. And what's the population of the world? We can't even conceive of it. But how many devotees we have in our movement? At the most 10,000? Or maybe at the most 15,000? But what is 15,000 compared to? I think Ford Motor Company has more employees than that. Well, it's a matter of purity. You see, our impurities are material nature, right? So, as long as we have some impurities in our heart, there will be the conflict. Sometimes we'll think, let me become a devotee, and sometimes we'll think that, let me go to Maya. Right? But when we have been rid of all our impurities from the heart, then there won't be any Maya or any attraction for material enjoyment. Right? So, it is a matter of purity, it's not a matter of time. You can't say, if I become a devotee for 1,000 years, then I'll become a pure devotee. Right? It is not a matter of time. It is a matter of purity. If one is purified in just a fraction of a moment, then he got it. And somebody who is not purified in millions of lifetimes, he cannot get it. Any other question? I see. Another one? Go ahead. No, it's also a matter of purity. Because all the good qualities are there in the spirit soul, right? But because of our impurities, those good qualities become bad qualities, right? So when our heart is purified of all its material contamination, then all the good qualities become manifest. You see, spirit soul has all the good qualities, right? It is the material nature that injects those bad qualities in him. So when one is situated in a spiritual platform, pure spiritual platform, then immediately he acquires all good qualities. These qualities are not actually acquired from outside. It's already there inside. Any more question? Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.